everything into a gray area, you know, so where everything has no consequences. Say, well, you know, that he was kind of, you know, off in the middle there. He wasn't really bad or he wasn't really good. He was, you know, he was just kind of in between. You know, the scriptures are a little bit different. The Christian's life is supposed to be a little bit different or a lot different. We're supposed to care about what we do. We're supposed to pay attention to the actions that we take and understand that there are good people in this world and there are bad people in this world, and we are either one or the other. There is no medium person. And our actions are what determines whether we are good or bad. Turn with me to Romans, the second chapter. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, on the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. God is not somebody who plays favorites. God is not somebody that does not know how to judge. He doesn't, you know, ignore things. He doesn't forget about things. He understands everything that you do and whether it is good or bad, and He will judge accordingly. Two destinies await us. At the end of our lives, we're going to have a reward. We're going to have a judgment placed upon us. And our actions determine what kind of judgment that will be. Our actions. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Our actions determine who we serve. Romans 6, 16 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" There is a choice. There is two masters. There are two masters. And you will choose to serve one or the other. You cannot serve both. You know, a question that I would like to raise this morning is, you know, some people's actions. You know, you see a person, he acts the way he does, and you can look at him and you say, he's evil. He goes out and he kills people. Or you can look at another person on the other hand, and you can say that this person goes out and he visits the sick. He volunteers his time to work in the hospitals and the soup kitchens. He's good. How does a person get that way? What determines their choices, or what determines whether those people are good or bad, and how did they get to this point where they do things that are good or they do things that are evil? Our characters, our person, if you will, is the accumulation of decisions that we have made. The way we act is based off of our life and how we have acted throughout our life. Our past builds us up into what we are in our present. When we become dissatisfied with our current state of life, our circumstances, if you will, it is tempting to blame something other than things we control. It's tempting to say that the man that goes out and murders people, and say, well, his father made him that way. It's not his fault. You know, his parents drove him crazy. You know, most of the time, the majority of the time, that is not the case. A person chooses to be good or evil. You know, some people tend to think that we would do better if we were dealt a better hand. That it's like poker, you know, you win or lose based on what cards you get. No, that's not the way life works. We have voluntary thought. We have free will, free speech. Things that we do are our choice. We decide everything that we do, everything that we think, we are not forced into anything. Our characters are built up not from our external experiences or our external forces that affect us, but from what we choose to do about those things, how we choose to react and act upon our situation. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, we'll see this very clearly. Y'all are still studying, I'm just not teaching anymore, about Samuel and Saul and David and 1 Samuel the 13th chapter, we're going to look at Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. Saul was a righteous man when he started out. And chapter 13, and beginning in verse 14, it says to Saul, Samuel says, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Did God say, "Well, you had a rough life, you know, things just ain't working out for you, I'm going to have to pick somebody else, because, I mean, your life was just horrible. It wasn't your fault, though." No, that's not what he said. He said, "You messed up." He said, "You chose wrong." And then you look at David. Turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Well, I believe this is again about Saul here. 1 Samuel 15, verse 28, it covers a little bit of both. It says, beginning in verse, 28 there, it says, "So Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today,'" speaking to Saul, "'and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent.'" Then he said, I'll cut it off there, but it says there that David is better than Saul. Now, David was better because of his choices, not because of his life, not because of what happened to him. Because David chose to be a man after God's own heart. David chose to rely on God and to seek Him first. It's in the next, not the next chapter, but chapter 17. It says, it shows David's attitude there. And I'm lost my place here. Where'd it go? It says in verse 37 of chapter 17, it says, "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go and the Lord be with you.'" And God was with him. David had faith. David trusted in God. And he has had victory over his enemies because of this fact. Saul did not trust in God. Saul left God out. When times got tough, he did things on his own. And he didn't seek out God. God wants people that make choices that draw them closer to Him. We need to accept responsibility for ourselves and what we have made of ourselves. We are who we chose to be. We are self-made. There is no, "I can't help it, I was born that way." No, you made yourself that way. And unfortunately, this self-made person that we are is the product of unskilled labor. It's very flawed. We reap what we sow. Turn with me to Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians chapter 6, and verse 7, beginning. It says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." This verse here clearly states, we choose the way we will live. We choose the direction we're going. We choose where we sow our seed. And we will reap whatever it is that we have chosen. Decisions and choices build up. They have a cumulative effect, if you will. They snowball. Even little choices, small things we consider insignificant, have a large effect over a long period of time. Even more so than we might even be aware of. Every decision, every action changes a person. Little or small, small changes or big, it changes you. And our future choices tend to be affected by the choices that we have already made. Turn with me to Daniel, the 6th chapter. Daniel chapter 6. We become set in our ways. After living a certain way for so long, we tend to stay that way. So it's important to make every choice count. Daniel, the 6th chapter, we'll see Daniel did just that. Daniel 6, and in verse 10, says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." There was a law passed. There was a decree made that Daniel could serve no one but the king of the Medes and Persians here at this time. Daniel served God. Why? Because Daniel had made it his habit, had made it his life to serve God. And his choices sprang from that. Every choice that he made, made him into who he was at that time. And that was a man that served God no matter what. We can be that way. We can be just as faithful as Daniel. But we have to make the choice. Every one of our deeds, every one of our actions, we are building character, either good or bad. We are creating a self that finds it easier to act in certain ways, good or bad. The more you do bad things, the easier it is to do. The more you do good things, the easier it is to do. We build bad habits by our actions, and some of those bad habits are almost impossible to get rid of. We also build good habits through our actions, and we shouldn't want to get rid of those. None of us is stopped. None of us lives in a time-free zone. None of us has forever to act how we choose and change back and forth. No, we have a set amount of time. We live and we die. And in between those 2 points, we have a choice to become more like God or to become more like the devil. And we will reap whatever decision we make. Turn with me to John, the 8th chapter. John 8 and verse 44. It says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now in verse 7 it says, He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. there are two people mentioned here, one that is of Satan and one that is of God. Which one will you be? It's sobering to think, you know, that we've got to make a choice between those two. It means you better make careful choices. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 17. It says that beginning, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, not the first chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and verse 17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, and to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." You got to be careful. Excuse me. You've got to make sure that you don't do something just because everybody else does it. You got to make sure that you're doing everything that you do because you're trying to serve God. You're trying to build a better you. If you're just going along to get along, then your body and your mind and your soul are being led astray. They're decaying. They are being darkened. It says having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them. If you want to be a better person, seek wisdom. Ignorance is destruction. It's sobering to think that everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, the actions we take are being kept up with. They matter. They are being held against us, if you will. They are being held to our account. No decision is too small to be insignificant. Turn with me to Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. It says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Something you said in your closet that nobody else in the entire universe heard, but God, affects you and affects who you will be and who you will become and what your reward will be. It doesn't matter if nobody else heard it. It doesn't matter if it didn't affect anybody else. It affected you. And God, pay attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust we are well known in your consciences." Do you want to be known in a good way to God? Do you want God to know who you are and that it's a good person? Because He will. Whether you're good or not, He's going to know who you are. And you're going to stand before Him one day and have to explain why you lived the way you lived. Just like children playing on the playground might say sometimes, "Well, that didn't count. You can't do that. That didn't count. You can't get a take back. I had my fingers crossed. No. God don't look at your fingers. He looks at your heart. No excuses are going to be accepted on Judgment Day. Only actions. If we think that we can get out of something that we did, if we think that we can slide by, we are sadly mistaken. We are being careless or haphazard with our life when you live in such a manner. Our consequences are of our, the consequences of our choices are eternal. Hell is not going to be arbitrary, though. God's not just going to throw us in there just because. No, we're going to earn it. It's going to be a building up, a goal, an end, the outcome of our actions, if you will, what do they call it? The life's work. That's what you're going to wind up with. That's going to be your life's work. Whether you go to hell or whether you go to heaven, that's going to be because of how you lived. God's just watching. He set out rules. He's not forced us to live in any certain manner. We are free. So where we wind up is on us, not on God. Romans the 6th chapter. Verse 21. It says, "What fruit did you have then in the things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Your paycheck at the end is going to be determined by how you work. Just like it is today at your job. If you work sorry and you don't do your job properly, you won't get a paycheck. You'll be fired. And if you do a good job and you work hard, you might even get a bonus. Everybody's going to be exactly where they belong in the end. People who set out to be wicked will be where they belong. Where they wound up will be their just deserts. Sooner or later, we are going to have to sit down to the banquet of our consequences. Robert Louis Stevenson said that. He understood that there is going to be a gathering up of those things. It is dangerous and detrimental. Permanently, it is beyond measure how heavy this decision is. It is life ending to say no to serving God, to say no to doing what we should do even once. You might not come back. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in verse 25, says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.' Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." It has immense weight, this decision that you make whenever you decide to live your life in a certain way, like in order to serve God or in order to serve yourself or the devil. There is, even if it's a small little thing that you're making a choice about, there is a pile of consequences waiting on you, depending on what you pick. But it's also encouraging, if you think about it, to think that your actions, every single one of them, counts. We can never truly say that we're helpless or hopeless in our lives if we are doing things in our lives to make it better. If we are serving God and we are trying to become better people every day, no matter how bad our situation, every action we take adds up. It counts. Just like David, like we read in 1 Samuel 17, said just the same way that God had delivered him from everything that had happened to him before, the bear and the lion, God's also going to deliver him from the Philistine. That's the attitude we need. That youthful confidence, gusto, vigor, zeal, if you will. So that we can make choices in our lives that will truly make a difference and truly make a positive difference, I guess we should say. If we can make actions, if we can have faith that those actions are going to have consequences and do good no matter what, then we will make a difference. Turn with me to Mark, to the 12th chapter. It will make an impact. Mark, the 12th chapter in verse 41, it says, "Now that Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she put in, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" It doesn't matter how big the action is. It doesn't matter if you give $1 million or if you give 2. If you are doing a good thing and you are doing something in order to serve God, and you do it with all your heart, God notices. He pays attention. God does not require large, extravagant steps and actions of righteousness from us. Only what we can manage. Only our small steps taken in faith towards Him. God's not looking for people that can do everything and anything. He's looking for people that are willing to do what they can. To choose to do things for God, no matter how small. Heaven will be our outcome, will be our goal and our reward. If we learn to choose actions that are led by God. Romans the 6th chapter. Romans the chapter 6 in verse 21. If I can get my Bible to cooperate with me here. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 21 says, "For what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed, but for the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end everlasting life." That's our goal, everlasting life. And if we will have our fruit to holiness, that will be our end. That will be our reward. Life is serious. As we've stated throughout this lesson, every choice has immense weight on it. Whether you think so or not, everything that you do, no matter how small, has an impact on your life and on your destination. Ephesians the 5th chapter in verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We've got to seek out God's will in order to make it through this life and have the result we want. That the only one that we should want, that we should desire, We have to act in a manner that is wise. Act in a manner that is circumspect, as it says, well put together is kind of the idea there. Let us be sobered by the fact that each and every action reaches into eternity with its consequences. And take responsibility for what we do. Think about what you do before you do it. But also, let us be encouraged that by the fact that no matter how small of a step we take in the right direction, that it is a step that counts into eternity. It builds into a monument of our lives that at the end, hopefully they can look at our life and say, he served God. That was a good man. And it might not be that we were amazing preachers. It might not be that we were off in Africa, you know, teaching God's Word to the masses. We might just live here our entire lives, go to one church, and only all we ever do is just do our best to serve God, encourage our friends and family. But if we're doing those things that are good, then it is worth it. It is what God asks of us. And in all things, one last verse, we need to remember and be grateful that we still have today and that we can make better choices from here on out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 beginning says, For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. That was Paul. Paul did not start out doing the things that he should. He made bad choices. But just like Paul, we can change. The grace of God has been extended to us. And if we will take advantage of that, no matter how small the action is, if we take advantage of God's grace and we do things to fulfill His righteousness, it counts. It makes a difference. That's the idea that I wanted to present, to remind us of this morning. I know I have a tendency to forget. But every action we take, everything that we do, matters. Everything that we don't do, matters. So make sure that we take actions that will be well-pleasing to God and that will build up our character into a good character. If there is any here who would like to repent of a sin and start acting in a right manner, start acting in God's will, or if there is anyone here who would like to begin their journey and start out afresh and like to be baptized, if either is the case, if you would, come forward while we stand and sing, and we will do our best to assist you.